Hey, y'all. I'm Casey Bell of the Google Teacher Tribe podcast, a proud member of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to right now. The opinions expressed are those of the individual hosts. Make sure you check out all the other great podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com and get ready because the learning begins in 3, 2, 1.
Jesse Cole is the owner of Fans First Entertainment and the Savannah Bananas, a college summer league baseball franchise. He is the host of the Business Done Differently podcast and the author of Find Your Yellow Tux, How to Be Successful by Standing Out. We're talking don't be normal, have fun, be different. Lots to learn. Enjoy.
You are listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, a podcast for educators, helping you help kids achieve their dreams. And now here's Steve with this week's show.
Jesse Cole is the owner of Fans First Entertainment, who owns and operates the Savannah Bananas and previously the Gastonia Grizzlies. His teams have welcomed more than 1 million fans to their ballparks and have been featured on MSNBC, CNN, and ESPN. Mr. Cole's teams have been awarded Organization of the Year, Entrepreneur of the Year, Business of the Year, and have won 3 CPL championships. The Savannah Bananas currently have sold out 2 straight seasons. Jesse is an in-demand speaker and author of Find Your Yellow Tux, How to Be Successful by Standing Out, released in January 2018. Cole is also the host of the Business Done Differently podcast. Jesse believes to be successful, you need to stand out and be different. He is passionate about creating attention, loving your customers more than your product, and loving your employees more than your customers. Jesse's mantra is, whatever's normal, do the exact opposite. Jesse Cole's greatest mentors are Bill Veeck, P.T. Barnum, and Walt Disney. All 3 share a wall in his office on custom-made posters that display the words innovation, showmanship, and vision. Say hi to everyone, Jesse.
Hey, how's it going?
Going awesome, and it's so thankful to hear you, to have you on my show there, Jesse. I've been listening to your podcast, Business Done Differently, since the beginning, and now I've finished reading your book, Find Your Yellow Tux, How to Be Successful by Standing Out. You have an awesome passion for helping people figure out how to do things differently in business, and so thank you so much for taking time to talk with me.
It's my pleasure. I'm excited to share with educators because there's a huge opportunity to think differently in that field. So I'm excited to have some fun with you today.
Very cool. Glad that you're here. So what I'd like to do first is I kind of like to start with this. I'd like to go to a little bit of your story before we get into some other stuff. You didn't start out to be the owner of a business, it seems like. And as a matter of fact, you kind of had to figure out a plan B. Could you share a little of that journey that led you to becoming the owner of your first CPL team and kind of find out your why and purpose?
Sure. Well, I'll set the stage. I've had a lot of learning experiences since I jumped into the business world and the sports world, and more specifically, the entertainment world. And I think it's important to realize that, you know, anywhere you go, you have lots of failures. And I've had many. I mean, it was just 3 years ago that I was living on an airbed after having to sell my house, empty out my savings account, and my wife and I were down to nothing to try to make our new team in Savannah work. But over the last 11 years, we jumped into the sports and entertainment business. Basically, I played baseball my whole life. And right out of college, I got an opportunity to be a general manager of a team, the worst performing team in the country in Gastonia, North Carolina. I mean, literally 200 fans coming to the games. And, you know, the team was losing over $100,000 a year. And my first day, I'll never forget, there was only $268 in the bank account. And we had 3 full-time employees and payroll was on Friday. So that's where I started. And, you know, what I was able to learn, you know, that I had to learn about, we had to do things dramatically different to be successful. And we were playing the same game as everyone else, baseball. But to many, baseball was long, slow, and boring. And it was basically feast or famine. I couldn't pay myself when I started at 23 years old. So we had to do something dramatically different. And that's when I realized what business we're really in. And for us, it's the entertainment business. It's not the sports business. So we made it a circus at our games. We started having fun. Literally, our players doing choreographed dances during the games, grandma beauty pageants, burying diamond rings in the infield dirt. And I became, you know, kind of a showman. I wanted to be a part of it when I was even just started as a general manager. I would get in the dunk tank every night and get dunked by the fans. And eventually, we had so much success that we were selling out our stadium. And I went from 0 debt to over $1 million in debt when I decided to buy a couple baseball teams and really go into this all in. And that was just a handful of years ago. And since then, through all these trials and tribulations, we've learned that the key to standing out and being different and caring for people, and that's the whole mentality of our business, is fans first. And we put everything into providing the best fan experience in the world to not only our customers, but also our employees. And that's really gained the success that we never could imagine. You know, just a few nights ago, I stood in front of the crowd and said, you know, if we could go back 2 years ago and say every single game was sold out and that there's a waiting list for thousands of tickets for Steve to be open, one of the lowest levels of baseball. We're not the major leagues. We're not even the minor leagues. We're not even professional. We're college summer baseball. And, you know, every single game is sold out because of hopefully the experience and the memories and the moments that we're providing for our fans. And it's been a wild ride and, you know, still learning every day.
And I think that's so awesome because and since you've kind of gone there, I want to go ahead and follow through with a little bit about what you're talking about with the fans first, because one of the things I think is cool is, first of all, I love this. You named a team after a fruit, and you know, you got the Savannah Bananas, nice bright yellow color, and you've got, you know, I love this whole thing, this whole vision of the entertainment. And one of the things that everything that you do, you can see it in, you know, in your branding, the sending out the message about your business and the whole idea of fans first entertainment. And I mean, it's evident in everything that you write and talk about. And I was just wondering if in talking with businesses and such, and looking at how people brand or how they see their mission as, why do you think it's important for them to really to dig down and figure out what it is that they're there to do? Because like you were saying, you're really there for entertainment. It's not so much baseball, right?
Yeah, it's what do you stand for? You know, I think no matter whether you're a school system, a business, you know, what is the mission? And I work with numerous companies and I ask them, what's the mission of the company? And most of them don't know it. Some that do, they say it's on a wall or this long paragraph and no one really understands it. How do you keep it simple so everyone is on the same page? You know, I often ask the question, how do you get all the employees speaking your same language? Well, you got to make your language clear, simple, and repeatable. And I think that's so important. So we constantly talk, hey, we are about fans first, making a difference in people's lives. That's what we're doing. We're bringing people together. We talk about it over and over again. And all the decisions are based on fans first. And, you know, it sounds like it's simple. Obviously, it's a long road because people want to make things more complicated. When it's simple, it works. And so we've developed this fans first mentality. And when people show up at our ballpark, every game day staff employee, every single part-time staff employee, everyone knows fans first, take care of people. And, you know, to go on what we were talking about earlier about naming the team the Savannah Bananas, we could all be about fans first, but if we didn't have the attention and the eyes and ears of this community, it wouldn't matter. And from the education perspective, if you don't have the attention, eyes, and ears of the students, of the parents, of the community, you could have the best message in the world, but it won't matter because no one is hearing it. So I think that's really important in how you create the attention first and then say your message over and over and over again.
Oh, I love that. That's so, and it fits so well with education too, because that's something that oftentimes other people tell the story of public education as opposed to us telling it. And, you know, that's one of the things we've got to get better at, is making sure that we're telling our message and getting them to hear what it is that we need them to hear about what it is that we do. So good stuff. One of the things I want to do is that in your book, one of the things that you talk about is that you're never thinking about what things should be, but that you're thinking about what they could be. Can you explain what you mean?
100%. You know, I think should be is a small mindset. Could be is a big mindset. I'm blown away by Walt Disney. And like you mentioned, he's one of my mentors. And then on my wall, I have a custom-made poster. It says, vision, it's kind of fun to do the impossible. Walt was never thinking about what should be in the movie business or what should be for a theme park. He's just thinking what could be. It's this big mindset. And I think that's what drives people to be a part of something bigger than themselves. And when you look at Walt Disney, how many founders of a business can keep the heart of the business going 50 years after they've already died? It's amazing. And it's because of that what could be mindset, the idea of making magic every day for people that come inside their theme parks or watch their movies or anything Disney related. So when I think of what could be, it's not just thinking of the way it's always been. You know, if you're part of a meeting, it's like, that's the way we've always done it. Well, as soon as I hear that, that's like nails on a chalkboard for me. If you say that's the way you've always done it, immediately question yourself, because that's when you're not innovating. That's not when you're growing. And that's when you start dying. And I think so, you know, what should be is, oh, you know, it should be this way. It should be this way. No, what could be is thinking beyond yourself. And I challenge businesses to think that. We think that with the baseball business right now, in the industry we're in, baseball is too long, too slow, and too boring. Why does it have to be 9 innings? Why does the game have to be 3 hours? Why do people have to sit in chairback seats where they can only talk to a few people next to them this time? You know, we try to think of that, all these different things that can make an amazing experience. And that's why, for instance, all of our tickets are all you can eat. You know, what should be is people come into the ballpark and they pay for hot dogs, burgers, drinks, sodas, whatever. And it ends up being $200 for a family. That's what should be for the owners. But what could be is an experience where people come in and it's $15 and it includes all your food, all your drinks, and your ticket. That, what I believe, is a better experience. And I think if everyone looks at that in their business, their industry, all of a sudden you start changing the game. And when you change the game, it's unbelievable what you can accomplish.
That's so true. So very true. And you definitely are changing those, the game, because it's like, you know, one of the things is it's, you're right on the money. You go to a game, you go to an event, and it's the ticket gets you in, but then you got other things you got to buy. And after a while you start going, why am I going to go if I have to keep buying more stuff as opposed to buying the fan stuff, which is what you really want to do, I would think.
100%. I mean, think about this. I mean, what is the perfect experience for your customer? What is the perfect experience for a student? What is the perfect experience for a teacher? You know, I think we just need to map it. Map it. When the teacher and the student show up and they first show up, what do they see when they walk through the doors? When they go to the classroom, what do they see? How is the engagement? When they leave, what's the lasting impression? You know, we map the entire experience all the way through and think of what could be to be the most magical experience. You know, at our games right now, we have our entire staff lined up thanking every fan that comes in. And we also have our 30-piece pep band playing music for 30 minutes after the game. It's like this party atmosphere that people are leaving. The game's over, but no one wants to leave. Think about it. I mean, that's the lasting impression. We've had our staff come up to us and say, hey, we're thinking about doing s'mores tonight. I'm like, s'mores? They're like, we're going to have s'more stations and give out s'mores when the fans are leaving. They came up with that because they thought, what would be a cool thing for kids to leave the ballpark, to see the players out greeting them, to have s'mores and hear a band? You know, it's imagining. And I think that's what Walt Disney and a lot of the great innovators have always done.
That's very cool. And, since we were talking about Walt Disney, you know, up there on your poster is also Bill Veeck and P.T. Barnum. Can you talk a little bit about what you get from each of them? Because I think I understand that, but can you share that some?
Yeah, many people aren't familiar with Bill Veeck, but he was so far ahead of his time. He was probably, in my opinion, the greatest baseball owner in history. And he owned the St. Louis Browns back in the day, the Chicago White Sox. And boy, he was an unbelievable learner. We'll start with the fact that when he died, he had 10 books around his around his bed with all different bookmarks in them. He was reading constantly. And I think that's obviously a great trait for innovation. But his poster says, innovation, I don't break the rules, but I merely test their elasticity. And he was constantly doing things. I mean, he would give away 12 live lobsters during a game to one fan. I mean, he actually had the fans manage a game in grandstand manager's night. He let the fans choose whether the team would bunt, steal, or hit and run. This was in a major league game, he allowed that. He was so far ahead of his time. And again, he thought, what would be an amazing experience for the fans? I don't care what all the other owners are doing. I don't care what baseball is supposed to be for traditionalists. If he was doing it now, everyone in the world would be talking about Bill Veeck. But he was, you know, the other owners kind of said, we don't want this. He kind of got thrown out of the league to an extent. But I look up to him more than anything because of the way he thought about how things could be. And then the final one, P.T. Barnum, and obviously great timing with the amazing movie, The Greatest Showman. But on his poster, it says showmanship. And it says something terrible happens without promotion. Nothing. And I think P.T. Barnum understand the power of creating attention, doing things wild, like having, you know, he would put giant elephants outside of his museum just to draw attention. I mean, he just did things to try to create attention. That was crazy. And I look at him and I said, would this create attention? Would P.T. Barnum do this? So again, it seems easy in the sports industry, the entertainment industry, but it works in anything because not many people are doing it. They're playing by the same rules. And if you think like P.T. Barnum, Veeck, and Walt Disney, wow, I mean, you start can really stand out pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's what a great trio right there. And you know, it's funny. I do have to say this. I was born in south side of Chicago. And so my father is a huge White Sox fan. And so I grew up knowing who Bill Veeck was. And it's cool. When I saw him mention your book, I'm like, oh, too bad my dad's not here. He would have loved this conversation.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Good stuff. So let's get in a little bit more into your organization then. So what I'd like to do is that one of the things I've heard you talk about is that people should be a sponge that work for you, embrace their sponginess. Can you get into that little conversation about what you're talking about when we talk about being a sponge and embracing sponginess?
Well, part of our fans first way, and we have our core beliefs. We keep it simple. We go by the ABCs: always be caring, different, enthusiastic, fun, growing, and hungry. And the last two are so essential: growing and hungry. And I believe if you want to grow any organization, you need to build an organization that is growing and hungry and focused on learning and developing. So it starts from the top. So we came up with the idea of doing a better book club. We actually got inspired by the idea from Arnie Malham and what he's doing with an advertising agency in Nashville, Tennessee. And the whole concept is when anybody reads, we actually pay them. And we've paid thousands of dollars. Each book could be $50, $75, $25. Because the idea, you think about this, you know, businesses pay thousands of dollars for people to go to conferences. And they go to a 3-day conference, they eat, they fly out there. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's just gone. Maybe some of the ideas, they stay with them. But there's some books that you just read a book in 2 or 3 days, you'll get more knowledge than that conference. So you can pay a fraction of the piece to the employees. And it's been amazing what's happened. We are constantly, constantly recognizing people that are learning, growing, and developing. And that's, again, goes into the culture that you want to make. You got to be repeatable, and you got to recognize the behavior you want to see. So we have our people reading. We do have them go to some conferences, but we have them taking online courses. Every day we're talking about, you know, what do we learn today? You know, what are we learning? And a big thing for us is we don't call failure failure. We call failure discovery. And we have a discovery journal that we have the issues, that things that didn't go right at the stadium, the things that didn't go right with fans. And that is our discovery. So we're constantly trying to learn. And that's what being a sponge is. You know, you need to be able to see things differently. And for instance, we learn from the cruise industry. We learn from Ritz-Carlton. I think people, educators particularly, maybe they're just out trying to learn from educators. But you, which I appreciate you having me on the show, you sometimes can learn a lot more from people outside of your industry. And we don't go to baseball conferences. We don't go to sports conferences. We go to you know, social media marketing. We go to video conferences. You know, we go and learn from the Ritz-Carlton. We go and learn from the cruise lines, because that's what we're trying to do. Your competition isn't just other people in your industry. Your competition is everywhere. Your competition is Amazon. It's Apple. It's Zappos. It's these companies that are amazing. And that's what we're realizing. So we might as well learn from the best and not just people in our industry.
That's awesome. And I'd like to use that as a jumping off point into something else, because that's, you know, going outside your industry is so cool. And you tell us some neat stories about bringing in people to help with the entertainment part that really don't know baseball and ask things like, is this going to stop sometime soon? Or, you know, which I love. And, you know, one of the things that you say is you don't always know the answers, and you seek to solve this by hiring through your hiring practices. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, our hiring practices are pretty different. You know, we believe in a lot of companies, I feel they hire too fast and then they have to manage hard. We try to go through a long, extensive hiring practice. And again, we map it out. What would be the most amazing hiring practice? And for some people, it doesn't work out. So we have a 3-step process. We have the first step is that we want a video cover letter. And I think personality is so big in any industry you're in. And a lot of people just send the typical written resume. Well, we want to see you. We want to see your personality. So we have them do a video cover letter, you know, why they want to be a part of our organization, just get to know them. And we get to see a lot, whether it's a 2-minute video, a 3-minute video. That's amazing for us. Then the number 2 is the future resume. And where a lot of companies ask for your former resume, what you've done, we want to know what you plan to do in the future, not necessarily what you've done in the past. And this is where we can learn about growing hungry. We can learn about their dreams, their vision. You know, if they say they just wanted to have the same role for the next 10 or 15 years, well, they're probably not going to be lifelong learners. They're probably not going to be the sponges. So the future resume has been a game changer for us. And it's great to see people's vision and how big they think. And actually, I like to see someone says that they're going to leave our organization in 5 or 6 years, because I want them to think that big. Then the next thing we ask for is the fans first short essay. and how they stay true to our core beliefs, our fans first way. So how they're caring, different, enthusiastic, fun, growing, and hungry. So in that whole point, they already have an idea of what our culture is about and what we're looking for. And we, I would say what's crazy, if we have 100 applicants and they just reach out, I would say only a handful actually go through that process. So we've already weeded out a lot of people. The people that go through that process, they're strong contenders. So once we go through that, we imagine what's the perfect experience for people to come in. So even in interviews, we have a meal set up. We have the whole staff greeting them. We have our entire staff interview a candidate. That's crazy. I mean, we have 15 full-time employees now, but that's how important our culture is. And it's a reason why in 3 years we've had zero turnover. It's because we're a family. And so everyone gets interviewed, and then we go the extra mile in their hotel room if they're traveling in. We have a goodie package with letters from us, and you know, we go all out and try to make it an amazing experience because we want them to feel like they're a part of something special. And what's amazing, one of the last hires we had, our director of events, she had a whole day interviewing. We actually put her to work. We had a concert here, so we had her work. We had to see how she could work with us, which was crazy. She's like, am I really working 12 hours? I'm like, well, we'll see how you're doing. And the next day, we got back to the ballpark, and there were 14 handwritten letters from her that she personally wrote to every single person on the staff. And she was hired immediately because that showed so much about how much she cared. And she's been amazing. So, you know, we go the extra mile and we expect our people to as well. And we may lose candidates because of that. We may lose people that could be great, but we'd rather go that extra mile and see if it works out.
That's awesome. The you know, just changing up that process is so cool, because if you just start with the idea of this video to introduce yourself, then and then a forward thinking, you know, world instead of that backwards thinking resume. I mean, that in itself is just huge. And by the way, I love the fact that you basically gave her an audition and she came through with flying colors. That's so cool.
You know, and I just think it's so important. If you want to stand out, you can't do the same thing as everyone else. And that's why I love whatever's normal, do the exact opposite. If you are hiring and bringing people in, if you're a school system, what makes your school system better? What makes it different? You can't just say about the awards that you've won. You got to show it. And you got to show it when they come in. They got to feel it. And I think, you know, the easiest way to stand out is provide a better experience. From the hiring, from the interviewing, from everything, every step of the way. And, you know, everyone's like, well, we can't wear a yellow tux like you, Jesse. Well, I understand that. Not everyone can wear a yellow tux. I don't even know if the business, bright colored tuxedos, is still in business. I think they're out of business now. I'm the only one that's owning a yellow tux.
No.
Don't worry, I got 7 of them. I'm all stocked up. So, but yeah, you know, it's just something you can think about. You know, it's simple. What's the best experience for your customers, employees, and go all out on that? That's the easiest way to stand out.
That's so cool, because I think it's so right on the money, and you're just sending that message. It's just coming out like just every direction. So, you know, a fire hydrant, it's just boom. You're sending your message out everywhere. And that is so cool about standing out by being different. I love it. So let me, you know, one of the messages that you also have is you're committed to fun. You say that you have to make fun happen by infusing it into everything you do. You also say that fun takes practice, and that there is no fun switch. Can you walk us through these thoughts just a little bit?
Well, I think it's interesting. You're like, oh, we're fun. We're going to put in a ping pong table, and we're going to put in a dartboard or whatever. You're going to force fun. It's so counterintuitive. You know, the way to think, like, we're going to force fun. Well, it just needs to be a part of your everyday culture. We don't have ping pong tables, pool tables, dartboards. But it's just about, you know, the idea, we'll play music. I'll come in there. We dance. We just have fun. We joke around with each other. I mean, it's not something that you can necessarily teach, but the reality is it's just being self-aware that are people having fun? And here's, you know, look more at fun killers. And, you know, I guess the best way to look at fun, and I haven't really thought about this too much, Steve, to be honest with you, it's look at the fun killers. You know, are there people being negative? Are there people that are toxic? Are there people that are complaining? You know, is there someone that you go up to today and say, hey, you know, the weather's beautiful today. And they say, it's supposed to rain tomorrow, you know, or is it a person they say, you know, don't talk to me until I've had my coffee. Those people are fun killers. And you need to be able to talk to them and say, hey, have you noticed that you're starting to bring that out? Because the reality is we just talk so much about the positive things that happen. We recognize those every day in our meetings, what we call them staff chats. Every morning, we're talking and recognizing the great moments, the fun things. We tell stories. You know, at the end of every game, we have fans first moments where we just talk about the ridiculous fun stories. You know, with 4,000 people at a stadium, ridiculous things happen, and we talk about it and we laugh. And, you know, I think I wish I could have like this formula, Steve, but it's really just being aware of being positive, having fun, laughing. Did you laugh today? Or are you doing things that are actually bothering you, upsetting you? Are you putting out fires all day? And we try to make sure everyone is in their zone of genius, doing what they love. And if they do what they love, they're having fun. But if you have people doing what they're not good at and what they hate, they're not having fun. So that's looking at people's jobs as well.
That's so awesome because it's right on the money. And you know, if they're when you're looking at people's jobs, if they are in the right place where they that's their zone, you know, that's they're going to be living and loving your and delivering your message left, you know, all over the world. And I love that.
I'll jump on that. I did a piece the other day. Put people in the right position. I remember I played college baseball at Wofford, and I was a pitcher, but I was also a hitter, and I was hitting well. So we were playing Clemson, the number two team in the country. And my coach said, Jesse, I want you to play right field. I go, right field? I've never played outfield before. He goes, you'll be okay. It was the scariest moment of my life. Balls were coming at me. I had no clue what I was doing. So after two innings, he said, Jesse, we're moving you to first base. And I go, first base? I've never played first base before. First play, ground ball to me, and I throw it away so far over the catcher's head that people are just freaking out. They don't know what's happening. And because I was put in the wrong position. And I think about that, you know, we had a person that was handling events last year and it was just too much for her, but she went back into the marketing and she has dominated. How many people are teaching the wrong classes or an administrator, they're working with the wrong things, you know, put people in the right position and watch them flourish. And I think administrators need to be very well aware of that. You know, when you're teachers, what are they talking about? What classes do they enjoy most? What are they loving? Have them do more of that and not focus so much on the things they don't enjoy. We're such in a culture where we focus on weaknesses. I'd rather focus all in on your strengths and be the best at that and love that every moment.
I love that. That is awesome because that's exactly what it's all about and how it's going to deliver a much better whatever it is that you do for the day is just going to be so much better, whether it's delivery in the classroom or working with families or providing a circus. And that's so, so cool. The good stuff. The, you know, one of the things that you talk about in your book is that, and I've heard you share in other venues, is that you, I was wondering if you could share a little bit about your thank you experiment.
Yeah, my thank you experiment may have been the most selfish thing I've ever done, Steve, in a weird way.
Okay.
Here's why I'll say that. I never expected it to because it started with gratitude. And I believe you need to start every day with gratitude. I think so many people wake up every day and they look at their phone, they watch the news, and they're starting their day not on purpose. And so I decided back in 2016, I chose the one word for the year. And this concept came from John Gordon, where he realized that New Year's resolutions fail 87% of the time. And he said, why don't you just focus on one word for the year? And I said, all right. So I thought about this and we started with me and my family and I chose one word. My word was going to be care. And I said, all right, I'm going to focus on this. I'm going to put it on my computer. Every morning I'm going to think about caring. Well, I need something tangible for it. And so I decided I'm going to start writing a thank you letter. And I said, I'm going to do a thank you letter every single day. And what was crazy was I said, I wrote down a list and I only had like 50 or people, you know, from old teachers, from coaches, from peers, from authors, from my family, from people that have had an impact on my life. And I started doing it every day. And the reason I say it's the most selfish thing I've done, every morning, I just lit up. The idea of writing a thank you letter to someone, when you experience gratitude and you share it, it just makes you feel good. So every morning when I would do this, all of a sudden I'd feel better for the day. I feel like I already did something that contributed and made someone feel good. And this continued. I still do thank you letters to this day. I've done now hundreds, almost at 1,000. And what I've realized is I look for the good in everything now. I look for people, who can I thank today? Who can I try to recognize in a fun way? And what's happened is my relationships and my connections have grown more than I have ever could have imagined. I had one teacher, my high school teacher, wrote me back a 5-page handwritten letter and said, you have no idea how much this means to me. I've never ever hear from students and to say that I've made an impact on your life. And she went on and on. And I saved that letter and it was like, wow, the power of a thank you. So it was a huge thing, profound. And again, going back to the whole theme here, you know, when you share gratitude and look for people to thank every day, that's a way to truly stand out. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a thank you letter. Even to this day, I do short little thank you selfie videos that I'll send to people. Instead of just an email, I send a video. And just little things like that, it goes a long way. And our whole staff does it now. We have thousands of blank thank you letters in our office. And every day I look as the mail's going out and our staff is sending out thank you letters.
That is so awesome. I love that. That is what a cool thing to do. It's, and you're right. There's nothing more powerful than when somebody realizes you took the time to do something like that, and they reach back out to you. And so what a cool thing. Thank you for sharing about your thank you experiment. Well, before we close out, because I have some questions specifically related to education that I'd like to get into. The one of the things that I think is just awesome about the message that you deliver is this whole thought of, if we're going along the path of what is normal, then there's just something boring about that, that it can't, we shouldn't do that. And I think we get caught up too often in, and besides this is the way it's always been done, I think too often we get caught up in the idea that if we do something out of the ordinary, that we're going to be shunned or we're going to have problems with it. And, it's funny because you tell some interesting stories about when you decide to name the team the Bananas, and some of the people who reach out to you with not so nice comments about why. And I just think that one of the things that has to really flow through you is a way of being persistent and overcoming. If this happened to us, or this we stumbled here or there, and you just seem to have this really strong persistence and the ability to be to persevere through whatever this stumble might be. And I just wonder if you could talk a little bit about perseverance and persistence.
Yeah, it's a good question, because everyone talks about persistence and perseverance, and I've struggled with the idea on where does it come from, because I've asked the question, can you teach hunger in people? And I think it's a really difficult question to ask, because, hunger a lot of times is innate. I think, some people either have it or they don't. And to be hungry, then you got to demonstrate the perseverance and the persistence. But as I thought more about this, Steve, I think it comes down to purpose and why. If you're going to be persistent and persevere, why? Why does it matter? Persistence and perseverance, you're going through challenges, adversity. This was my wife and I sleeping on an airbed 2 years ago, trying to make ends meet with $30 a week to eat. I mean, we were eating food that wasn't even real food at that point. I mean, it was unbelievable. But it was because we believed in why we were doing what we were doing. And, it comes down to us, and we have these moments every day, and it builds that purpose for us. And, I share this story in the book, but when the first night we had a sold out crowd, opening night of the first time ever, and halfway through the game, a young woman, came up to me and said, could you get a signed baseball for me? And I said, yes, fans first, we'll work on doing that. And she goes, it would mean a lot to me because, I'm here with my fiance's family, entire family. He just tragically died, 2 weeks ago. And we're here out of tribute to him because he had come to every single opening night at this stadium since he was a kid. And I was blown away by that. And she said one more thing. She goes, my fiance's name was Drew Moody, and you have a player on your roster named Drew Moody. Wow. And at that moment, I was hit hard, wow. And so I went into the dugout, and Drew Moody hadn't yet made it here. He was still playing college baseball, but his younger brother, Logan Moody, was with us. And Logan said, I'll bring the ball to her. And watching an 18-year-old go up, sit in the bleachers with her, and sat for a whole inning and gave her a big hug. And he walked by me and I said, wow, Logan. He goes, fans first, right? And after the game, the family stayed till the end of the game. And she gave me a hug and says, you have no idea how much this means to me. And for us, when I look at that, the purpose of bringing people together to create moments that have real meaning, of course, we'll be persistent and we'll persevere through everything. And when you look at an education platform in the educational industry, man, if you can just really tell those stories, live those stories, create those moments, every year, every day, every week, whenever it is, and continue to tell yourself that, as tough as one class is, as tough as a few students are, that's what makes you push through. And for us, every night, we have thousands of fans. And believe me, when some people can't find a seat or there's lines, yes, they get upset. They get disappointed. But we always think back to those moments that we create for families and people at our ballpark. And that makes us push through everything.
That's awesome. That's so powerful. Thank you for sharing that story. The last couple questions. And asking you for some advice here. If you had a chance to talk with 100 brand new teachers, and they haven't, these are teachers who haven't started teaching yet, what is one piece of advice you would give to them? And in just a second, I'm going to ask you the same for principals. So what do you think? What did you want to tell 100 brand new teachers who haven't set foot in the class yet?
You know, it's funny. I usually say to business owners and entrepreneurs, it's always be patient in what you want for yourself, but be impatient in how much you give to others. But for teachers and educators and administrators, I think they understand why they're doing it. I think they understand the purpose they're built behind it. So, you know, there's a few ways I could go with this. I would think, you know, really, how can you create an environment in your classroom to be the most positive, well done culture, which Ken Blanchard talks about this, catch people doing things right. How can you create a culture that is so unbelievably positive and that is really teaching people to grow, develop in a positive frame? And that would be the one thing I would look at. And then obviously I go back into, you know, what makes you different? What makes you stand out? You know, I asked that question, Steve, to so many people, and I asked them, what makes you guys different? What makes you stand out? And they look at me and they said, well, you know, we're a little bit better at this. We're a little bit faster at this, or they don't have answers. Well, being me too isn't different than standing out. So I'd ask these teachers and administrators, what's going to make your school stand out and make a difference? What's going to make your classroom stand out and make a difference? And you combine that with an unbelievably positive, uplifting culture. Whew, I think you could be unstoppable.
That's awesome. And so in hearing your answer there, I would say there's advice for the teacher and for the building administrator. And I love that advice because it's, it's just trying to get at being able to get what the kids need, I think is the best aspect of that. So is there anything else that you would suggest if you were talking to school principals?
Well, I always try to reverse engineer everything. So if I'm sitting with them saying, hey, where are we at the end of this year? What happened? What difference did you make? What about 2 years, 3 years? Let's reverse engineer. What's the big picture of what you're doing and the impact you're making? And go from there. I think a lot of people don't have a vision of exactly where they want to go. And I understand the concept of doing and then learning. Believe me, we've done that. We've tried so many things here and then we learn. But we still know we're trying to make a greater impact for the greatest amount of people. And so we have an idea of what that looks like. How do we get in front of more people? How do we continue to go that further distance above and beyond for people? So I would question them, all right, go back to the end of this year. What happened? What are those moments that you're creating? What are those stories that you're sharing? I mean, as you mentioned, one of my podcasts, Darren Ross from the Magic Castle Hotel, he incentivizes stories, not sales. He wants the best stories of his people at his hotel. What stories are you creating for the guests? So I would challenge administrators and teachers, what stories are you creating about your school, about your classroom at the end of the year?
I love that. That is so awesome. And I encourage people to go back and listen to the episode with Darren Ross because it gets into so many unique aspects. And plus, everyone wants to go call and get a popsicle. So,
of course.
So the last question I have for you, Jesse, is this. Do you have a teacher in your past who made a difference in your life? If given a chance to say thank you, who would it be? And what would you say?
The teacher that I referred to earlier that I wrote the letter to, her name was Carol Wall. And I had her sophomore year of high school, junior year of high school, and senior year of high school. And we took a class, it was English, but then she also taught public speaking. And somehow we convinced her to give us the opportunity to create videos in addition to the public speaking. And it was that point, I was a baseball guy, a jock that was just constantly focused on playing baseball. But she gave us that opportunity and we started creating movies. And I mean, we did spinoffs on Survivor, the TV show. We did, unbelievable PSAs and ridiculous videos. And it was there that my creativity really came out. And I fell in love with the idea of producing something that could really make an impact on people, whether it was making them laugh, making them cry, making them just think you guys are crazy. And, you know, one of my good friends there went to NYU on a full film scholarship because of that class. And now he's producing for HBO, Showtime, some top movies. And my two other friends who are part of that class with us, they are two of the most creative people I've ever been around. One is a teacher who's doing amazing things in his classroom. And the other one is working for one of the top advertising agencies in the world. And, you know, she gave us an opportunity. She empowered us to try something new. And we asked a question and she let us go with it. It wasn't the same regimen. No, this is what it has to be. And I think that taught me so much. And I wrote to her, I don't think I'd be where I am right now if it wasn't for her ability to empower me, to give me the opportunity to be creative and do that. And I think that's the key for teachers, you know, you really empower your students to do things and learn. And people like to learn in their own way. And so I'll never forget Carol Wall.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. And Jesse, thank you so much for joining me today. Your message of standing out by doing things differently is so incredibly awesome. I mean, I love it. It's so awesome to get an opportunity to learn from you. Keep that focus on fun and how things could be. And I can't wait to see what happens next. And a personal thing, if I show up with my book, would you sign it for me?
Of course I will.
Appreciate it. Cause I'm going to be down there. It's not that far away. 2 hours, not too bad. That's but you make me think about how I could be different in everything that I do. I enjoyed the talk and I wish you the best in all.
Thank you so much. And also, Steve, I will encourage anybody who has questions, who wants to reach out. Every single day I'm posting on LinkedIn, Facebook, Jesse Cole, the Yellow Tux guy, any way I can help. You know, I'll never forget Mark Cuban literally responding to one of my emails within 2 hours. And if I can help in any way, I'd love to help your listeners.
That's cool. And I'll have links on my show notes to where you are on the web and to your email, as well as Twitter and so forth. So awesome stuff. So, well, thank you again. I appreciate it, Jesse.
Thank you.
Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is excited to be a member of Voice Ed Radio. Voice Ed Radio, your voice is right here. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is a proud member of the Education Podcast Network. Podcasts for educators, podcasts by educators. The opinions expressed on Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 are those of the guests and host. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is intended to share ideas, advice, and suggestions for classroom teachers and school administrators. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is produced for educational purposes. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll share it with your friends.